Okay, our God, our Father, once again, we thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit to guide and direct and protect us, to give us new birth and many, many other things. We ask for help. We realize that we are in a spiritual war, and we ask for guidance that we might understand what is on your side and what is not on your side. We ask this, that our lives will bring honor to the Lord Jesus. It is in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you don't object, I'd like to sit down today. I think I can speak loud enough, but we're going to start on page 9, I think it is. We didn't finish page 8, but I'll let you do that yourself. Okay. Let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're talking about the fact that there are other spirits rather than God's Holy Spirit. And I have a question or a challenge for you. Not a question, a challenge. Do you want your life to count for something, or do you want it to be just an easy life, or are you willing for the cost and the problems to endure difficulties and be able to honor the God of the universe? Now that's a question you really have to make. There are many, many people, I've even met some that claim to be believers, but they're looking for the easy life, or they're looking for thrills that will encourage their fleshly desires. But if you want to be with the Lord Jesus for all eternity, you're going to have to do what he wants. And it's not easy. Now, saying it that, if that was all there was to it, you might say, well, forget it then. I'm not going to do that. But when you understand what kind of a God we have, a God that says, I will pay for all the wrongs that you have done and give you a life better than you have ever experienced, ever can imagine, then would you choose him? And that's really the God we have, a God of incomprehensible love, incomprehensible wisdom. Just think of the things that the God that you and I realize, this designer of the universe. I mean, just even looking at a flower opening, let alone the way God has made our bodies, and we begin to, wait a minute, a God this wonderful is worthy to sacrifice for. Okay? Having said that, let's open our handout there to page 9, and I'm going to start on what spirits are from the living God. So we'll open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, and I'd like to read the first 3 verses. Remember, this is the Apostle John who was with the Lord Jesus. They say that he was probably one of the younger apostles, and he's one of those that was not murdered. He actually died a natural death, although he did suffer. He was on the Isle of Patmos for a little over 6 months when he was given the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 4, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Okay, that's what we're talking about yesterday, today, and all through Thursday. The spirit world. There are spirits that were in existence at the time of creation. We read that in Job, almost the last chapter. The stars sang at creation. But some of those, in fact, Revelation tells us that 2/3 of them said that they'd follow Lucifer, who we call more or no more by the name of Satan. So there are spirits that are seeking to pull us away from the Lord Jesus. And we've got to know how to discern which spirit we're talking about. So again, verse 1 of 1 John 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false spirits have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, to whom you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children. He's talking to those that know the Lord, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So, with that, we want to look. I came across some comments by Tozer, and on the next page we'll look at some paraphrases that I've made of some of his questions. But there's one more verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And it reads, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast that which is good. The old King James says, prove everything. Don't be afraid of asking questions, whether it's John Lyman or anybody else is teaching. Why are you teaching what you're teaching? Can you support that from Scripture? This is the idea. Now, I've heard, quite a few years ago, that one of the false cults, not one of them, almost all of them, say, just accept what I'm telling you and quit challenging me. I hope that my telling the young people all the time is, come on, challenge me. I hope you don't get, they go home and say, why are you telling me this? You've got to have reason. Now, parents have reasons for doing things that the specifics that they're telling are not going to be. The principles are in the Bible, and that's what you are responsible to be able to give them legitimate answers. If you can't, you'll say, well, I'll have to try to find that answer, and then diligently pursue looking for an answer. Maybe you have to find it ask somebody in the church or assembly that you go to, and ask them for help. And you may have to ask five people or more, but don't be afraid of your young people challenging what you're saying. They're being challenged, whether they're your homeschool or whether you're going to a public school or something else, they're being challenged all the time. And so you have to be praying, Lord, give me wisdom to be able to answer these questions, because these false spirits are real. And yes, they don't have anywhere near the power of God's Holy Spirit. But if you're not walking with the Spirit, if you're not filled with the Spirit, they can come in and they can really challenge our young people, and sometimes they lead them astray. Okay, so let's turn to page 10 and go through this list. You see at the top, I've described how you understand each of these. I keep asking young people, now paraphrase that in your own words. It's not that they're going to give a perfect, but at least that they can get the idea. And that's what it is with you and I. When we read Scripture, we should sit back and say, now, what is God really telling me out of that? And you may come up with something, and then as you're reading through the Bible, think about what other verses in the Bible talk about this same subject. There are very few subjects, important subjects in the Bible, that are only mentioned once. Most of them are mentioned many times. And so keep these questions you have in your mind, and as you see other places, it'll confirm what you thought that verse said, or it'll change and correct what it says. So the first one here, how does this Spirit leading draw me closer to God and increase my thirst to know Him better and pull me away from Him? I did say on the other side of the page here, spirits manifest themselves through teachers, preachers, singers, authors, advertisements, and even sometimes our own feelings and other ways. So they come in. Keep in mind, Isaiah 14:14, Satan, or he's called Lucifer there, he said, I will be like the Most High God. You probably are aware that the Mormons teach that Jesus and Satan are brothers, which is absolutely contrary to Scripture. Satan is a created being. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is an eternal being. So let's go talk about this this matter. How am I going to know whether this is drawing me closer to God? Well, is this leading consistent with Scripture? And that's why it is so imperative that you and I be reading through Scripture on a regular basis. And don't be afraid to ask people, and if they give you an answer that you say, well, now, where do you get that from Scripture? And they say, don't challenge me, you can realize that's a person you don't want to go to for answers. And you'll get people, Christians, because they're afraid to say they don't know. A brother told some young people once that John Lyman says, I don't know more than most people. But if you don't know something, don't try to bluff it, because that's what false religions, they come up with ideas and they just say, you just believe what I say and don't challenge me. Okay, next point that we have, by the way, you're all aware that you can interrupt me when I'm talking if you got a question or something, or you can catch me sometime in the other part of the conference here. But I'm very comfortable to be challenged and stumped where I don't know the answer. But I don't want you to go say, oh, you know, we shouldn't really ask these kind of questions. How many of you have read any of, not Josh McDowell, who's the other attorney that was saved because his wife was saved? Strobel. Some of the questions that he asked some of these people, I would be afraid to ask, but not because of the Scripture says, but don't be afraid to ask questions. If there's a question that's bothering you, don't be afraid to ask people. And as I say, when you ask people and they give you an answer and it doesn't mesh with Scripture, go to somebody else. Or if they say, I don't know, then they don't say, I'll try to find out, go to somebody else. But God wants us to be sure that we know the truth. What has He got ahead for us? Eternity. You know, they talk about trillions of dollars. To be honest with you, I can't comprehend much more than 1,000. As far as numbers go, really. And you and I are going to be in God's presence for 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years. A billion? No, there won't be years per se, but that time. Okay, so point two. How does this Spirit's leading affect my attitude toward and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And I want you to open to Luke chapter 24, and I realize that most of you, when I give the reference, are going to be able to quote it with before we open our Bibles. But let's read it again. It's helpful to read it actually in type. Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. You remember this is the resurrection day. The two on the way to Emmaus are walking along, sad as can be, and this stranger walks up to them and says, "Why are you so sad?" That's the setting here. And as he comes on, he's talking with them and asking them, telling them things. Verse 25 of Luke 24. He, this is the Lord Jesus, said to them, the two on the way to Emmaus, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken." How many of you believe every word in the Bible? Now again, I'm not necessarily asking for a show of hands, but the next question I'm going to ask you is why? Why do you believe the Bible? And you need to have a good answer to that question. Okay? Here the Lord Jesus is talking. He goes on, verse 26. "Was it not necessary for the Christ or the Messiah to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" And here's the verse we want to concentrate on. "Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." You probably heard people say, "You think the world revolves around you?" Well, in all the sincerity I can put forth, the world does revolve around the Lord Jesus. Now, there are parts in the Bible that are difficult to understand. May I give you a loose suggestion on that? Just skim over that one and concentrate first on the ones that you do understand, and then you'll be able to understand. I know Mark Twain is not the theologian that we can rely on, but he said, "I don't worry so much about the things in the Bible I can't understand. It's the things I understand that scare me." if you have people telling you something and they say, "Well, you know, Jesus has been gone for 2,000 years. We got this now." You immediately, red flag, don't even listen to a person like that. Everything in the Word of God has in some way connected to the Lord Jesus. Colossians 1:16 comes to mind. Let me just read that for you. Colossians 1:16, and the Lord Jesus, Paul talks here. It says, "For by him," who is the him? "The Son of the Father's love," is the expression earlier. "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities." Some of these words are describing other bodiless individuals. Sometimes we use the word angel to refer to all these, but there are different categories of unseen things. But now notice the rest of that verse. "All things have been created through him," the Son of the Father's love, the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice these last three words, "and for him." You exist for the Lord Jesus Christ. I exist for the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that's scary until we realize what a tremendous individual the Lord Jesus is. How many of you would be willing to be crucified for your enemies? This is what we're talking about here. Okay, so that's why everything should some way at least not be in conflict with who the Lord Jesus is and what he has done. Point three, how does this leading ring true to the scriptures? And by the way, there's a mistake there. The first reference is 8:20. The second reference is supposed to be Galatians 1:8, not 18. I'm sorry. I have proofread these things over and over, and I don't know, I never can get perfect. But anyway, so as you are and I are reading, we may not be able to say, wait a minute, this is contradicts verse such and such. but we'll see. If it doesn't ring true to Scripture, just hold it in abeyance. It doesn't mean you have to reject it, but don't accept it and just see, can I actually verify? There have been times when I've heard people say something and I say, oh boy, that's not right. And then a year or two later, find out, wait a minute, they were right. So don't immediately reject something you don't understand, but be careful, don't swallow it until you know why it's acceptable. Okay, point four. Does this leading displace my natural self with Christ, or does it seek to just polish over my rough spots and make it look better? Let's go on, next one. Does this spirit encourage fellowship or isolation? What's Hebrews 10:25? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now, that excludes Zoom. I'm sorry. But forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Does anybody in the room here think this coming of the Lord is soon?
Yes.
Well, what does that verse say then if we do think that way? So I still remember, I first came to Minneapolis right out of high school, and there was a sign on the front of the building, prayer meeting on Tuesday night, Bible study on Thursday night. Well, if I walked in and I says, how come we're here on Wednesday night? Oh, we just combined the two. And sad to say, you'll find out that most, not only assemblies, but many of the churches used to have many activities where saints were gathered together. By the way, the benefit of saints gathered together is not exclusive to Bible study. Just the fact of working together will help you understand what the Christian life is. It's not the exclusive exclusion of Bible study, but it doesn't have to always be. Even digging a ditch and you'll learn things. Maybe the brother or sister next to you is singing a hymn or doing something in a way that you'll notice. Why did you do that? Get into a conversation. Anyway, this is what we should be looking for. How can I benefit by being with other believers? And you may experience a believer that you don't mesh with properly. We'll find another one then, because we all have personalities and sometimes they just don't mesh, but just don't wipe them out. Also, I want to go back to John 13. John chapter 13, remember that was the Lord telling his apostles, not just the disciples, although some of the Gospels do not use the word apostle, but a disciple is one seeking to follow the Lord. Remember in John 6, when the Lord was teaching them about who he was, and if you eat me not, you're not part of me, and it says many of the disciples left him. Yes. There are people that associate with Christians that really are not born again or even interested. You don't have an obligation to stay with them. But here in John 13, we spent a lot of time with us Sunday with the young people. In verse 34, wait a minute, let's go back to verse 33. Little children, this is the words of the Lord Jesus, and obviously he being from eternity past, that the apostles, probably most of them were under 30 years old, even at this time. Little children, I am not with you a little, I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me. And now here is, there's the verse, as I said to the Jews, what was the nationality of the apostles? They were all Jews, okay? But he's no longer talking to them the way he did out in front of the temple a couple days earlier, which is recorded in Matthew 24. Now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I loved you. Now, just take this out of context for a moment. How has the Lord Jesus loved you in the last 12 months? Now, you should be able to call up some reference. It may not be unique to you, but somewhere where you realize that God has really shown love to you. Remember the definition of love, the commitment of my will to your needs and best interests, regardless of the cost to me. And you say, I don't like a dictionary definition. Give me a verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, so here God says, this is a commandment. The Lord Jesus says, this is a commandment. How many times can you find in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus says, this is my commandment? This is the only place I can find it. However, within a few hours, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, you'll find three times he repeats that, and four times he says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandment, or something like that. So you see how important it is that you and I display this commandment of doing for the good of another at our expense. Now, most times this expense is not money, it's time, it's effort. But this is a commandment that the Lord Jesus has given to us. Okay, so we're back here on point five, and let's keep moving here. Point six. Oh, let's read point five once again. Does this spirit encourage fellowship with or isolation from other believers? You know, you'll hear people all the time say, I've given my life to the Lord Jesus, but I don't need other Christians. Well, when you have somebody say that, you might want to ask them, I'm not telling you to, might want to ask them, do you have all the gifts that God has given? Well, most people will admit, no, I don't have all of them. Well, then you do need other people to interact with you. Remember, it says in 1 Peter 4, somewhere around verse 11, that gifts are given for the benefit of the church. Now let's turn that around for a moment. Everyone up here who has new life in Christ has been given a gift by the Holy Spirit. Are you using that gift for the benefit of your local church or local assembly? Amen. So that's another reason why you have to meet with other believers. Because you have something that God gave you for the benefit of them, as well as they have been given something for your benefit. Sort of makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, and that's what love is, right? This is my commandment, that you love one another, doing for the good of another at your expense. You have an ability. Now, speaking is one of the minor gifts. At a given church, a given assembly is built up by the things that are done in the background. I've heard stories about people all of a sudden dying, and then, well, how come that's taken care of? How come that's taken care of? Well, the person that nobody realized was doing things in the background and helping the assembly get along. So don't feel you have to be big mouth like John Lyman to be of any value. It's what's done in the background where people won't even, maybe even know that you're doing things, but you're doing them for the Lord Jesus and for his church. Okay, let's go on. Verse 15 again, there's two sentences there. Do I sense more love? Now we can look at that. Do I sense more love? Are the other Christians loving me? Whoops, that's okay, but look at the rest. And more responsibility. And notice I have a number of verses there. To believers. Or do I desire to go on my own way apart from other saints? If you find a person that's just like you, one of you won't be needed. Well, I didn't get that from the assembly. I got that from my boss. He says, if I have two employees in the engineering department that are identical and think identical, I'll get rid of one of them. But you know, you have an ability that nobody else has, and you are in a place that nobody else has. But what is there lacking in your assembly? Now, if you say nothing's lacking, I'd like to join there because, except I'd probably ruin it. But there are needs in every assembly. And again, many of those are fulfilled in the background and nobody even knows it's being done. But there are things that need to be done. Why are certain people not coming as often as they used to? Is there something that I have done wrong, or is there something somebody else has done wrong that maybe I can help them with? Or have they been misled by somebody and maybe I can just give them a shoulder to cry on? We need each other. These false spirits are very, very active. Again, we looked at just some of the ways they act. Even our feelings. Is that really from God, or is it from my old nature that these demons are trying to get in to attack? Okay, point six. How does this spirit affect my attitude toward the world system, its sinful enjoyments, its pleasure, its pursuit of earthly riches? I know a couple people that said it was their desire to be a millionaire by the time they got, well, one of them, one said, I wanted to be a millionaire before I die. The other one said, I want to be a millionaire before I get to 40. And he made it. However, he had medical expenses for one of his family close to that. So I don't know how much he actually had in his pocket. But be careful of worldly ambitions. Okay, let me keep reading in point six there. It says, God never encourages his own to compromise with the world. If I have to compromise with the world, something is wrong. Either I have a misunderstanding or I'm going down a route that Satan is very excited that I'm being used by him for some of his work. Then the last point that I have here that I've copied from A.P.B. Tozer, I forgot the name of the book that he has. Some of you have probably read him. But just these questions. How does this spirit affect my attitude towards sin? How does this spirit affect my attitude towards sin? If I feel that, well, you know, it's just a little sin. Well, was it smaller than taking one piece of fruit off of a tree in the Garden of Eden, which actually ruined God's whole universe? Whatever makes sin more intolerable and holiness more attractive can be accepted as genuine. Okay, now we've been talking about who the Holy Spirit is, and we started out with that verse in Ephesians 5. In fact, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 5:15 and get it in context. We can get a lot of strange doctrine by taking things out of context. Let's just read Ephesians 5:15 to 21. Therefore, be careful how you walk. And the word walk, you know, really means the way you live. So everything about the way I live, people are looking at and they're evaluating. You know, so that's a Christian. And if the person is not a believer, they're going to look at John Lyman's mistakes and say, well, that's what a Christian should do. And so that's why you and I have to be so careful about everything we do. It's amazing how unbelievers seem to have such a terrific ability to evaluate Christians. You can criticize what they're doing, but they're looking at us and they're saying, they claim to be a Christian, that must be what a Christian is. Verse 16, making the most of all your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish. What's the opposite of being foolish? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do we know what the will of the Lord is? Being saturated with His word. What was the verse that, here we go on names again, Scott. A brother Scott brought before us. We have a song this morning. And wherewithal, Psalm 119, verse 8 or 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And you go to verse 11, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You remember, how many of you, when you got your driver's license, got a book of the laws of driving? Okay, now, in that book, it would tell you that red lights mean stop. So you put the book under the front seat of the car, and you drive down the street, and you see a red light, you pull out the book, open up, look under red, open it up, and then you read it, and then you know you're supposed to stop. Absolute ridiculous, right? And yet we treat the Bible that way. We say, you know, the answers are in the Bible, and when I face this problem, I'll be able to go to the Bible and find them. Yeah. How much time do you have for most decisions you have to make in life? Less than 10 seconds. Okay, let's go on here now. Be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Oh, I didn't read all the verses yet. Okay, next one, verse 7. So then, do not be foolish, understand with the will of the Lord. Verse 8, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation or a waste of resources, but be filled with the Spirit. And this, remember we said there are two ways that a person can be filled with the Spirit. One, God sovereignly acting, and the other one, our responsibility. Then it goes on, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So there's two things here. When we sing, we're singing to other people. How much time do you spend singing to your children, to your family? No, you don't have to sit down and hold them on your lap, especially after they get to be 12 years old. But how about when you're working around the house or working in the yard? What's on your mind? Is it the songs of the world, or is it songs that have some scriptural teaching in them? Amen. Now, there are some songs that we have, we sing, and they're sort of fluff. In other words, there's really no doctrine in them. Be sure that you're singing some. I'm not saying that all these songs that are just fluffy are wrong, but let's be sure we sing some songs that have some real teaching in them. Some God in mercy sent His Son. It was an act of mercy that He sent His Son to this world. Okay, let's go on. So that we're just talking here. Well, like I said, I'd read through verse 21. Verse 20 then, giving thanks for all things. There's another verse that says giving thanks in all things. Giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Now, wait a minute. How can I possibly give thanks for all things? You heard about the little girl that came home from school and she said, Mom, can I have some chocolate cookies? And her mom says, sure. And so she goes to the cupboard and gets a teaspoon of bitter chocolate and gives it to the girl. Mom, this is terrible. And then she gives her some baking soda and then some flour and some sugar. And what are you doing to me? She said, I'm getting ready for your chocolate cookies. Well, when it's all put together, what is Romans 8:28? For we know that all things work together. So things that are not good in themselves, in our estimation, is God using this for something else? For his purposes? Do we believe it? For we know. Okay? So, last verse then. Be subject one to another in the fear of Christ. You guys, do you notice that? Be subject to one another. Later on it says wives to the husbands, but there are certain areas where us husbands have to be in subjection to our wives in the fear of the Lord. Okay, let's go on. State observable characteristics that this one fills. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Think about that after you go home or on the way home. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We'll see, reading the rest of this book, we'll be looking at other scriptures. One sanctified is separated from sin unto God. That's one of the characteristics. They fit into God's eternal purpose. When you watch yourself and look at what you've done in the last day, does what you're doing fit into God's eternal purpose? Now you may say, I don't understand, but if you say, well, no, that really didn't, then it's something that you want to work on. Point three, receive strength and guidance from him. That's one of the characteristics of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We look to him for the decisions we make. By the way, when we pray for guidance, don't expect that God's always going to flash an answer on a screen or open your Bible magically to the answer in the book. Many times, not always, but many times, you ask for guidance and God will give you direction without you even being aware that was come from God. You're driving down the highway at 60 miles an hour. Lord, which way do I turn? I was invited over to somebody's house just last week, and I made a mistake in the way I've been there numerous times. I made a mistake, and about a quarter mile down the road, I realized that I made a mistake, and I thought, well, next corner, I'll turn and go over to where they are. Well, I get to there, and I get to their house and notice that the road I was supposed to come down, there's the sign closed. Was that God's guidance, or was it my mistake? Well, both. But because I'd been there many times, why I made that mistake, but God gave me guidance, and God works in mysterious ways. Okay, God's Holy Spirit must have full access to every facet of my life. You all know that, but sometimes we don't put it into practice. Let's turn on to page 12. We've got to get going here. Okay, when I am filled with God's Holy Spirit, I will. Okay, let's just go through this list here. These are some things that are stated in Scripture. When I'm filled with His Holy Spirit, I will have victory over sin. How long have you been saved? Is your life different today than it was a week after you were saved. Now, I didn't say a week before, a week after. You have all seen babies, and how many of them can explain to you why they're crying? Of course not, at least until they get a year old. There should be a progression in your life. An 86-year-old man certainly should not have his number of times falling into sin as somebody that's just been saved for a month or so. Okay, have a greater thirst to understand God's ways. Remember I said earlier, when we think of some of the things that God says, apart from everything else, for instance, I'm in total control and you've got to do it my way. Well, that sounds terrible at first without anything else. But as we learn what God's way is and what He has done for us and what we see He has promised of the future, well, then it becomes obvious. But we're not going to get that the first day or month we're saved. As we get through reading the Bible 40, 50 times, we'll begin to see how God has been working in our lives. Many times we won't realize it until after the fact. We'll look back and see, like I did when making the wrong corner there. It's obvious God was leading. Was it a spectacular thing? No. In fact, if you're an unbeliever, you say, oh, we just total chance. By the way, you will have people, when you see something God has done, they'll make fun of you and say, that just happened. Well, let them say that. But you were convinced it was God's leading, and thank God for it. Okay? So let's go on here. having a greater thirst for God's ways. And there's references there that'll help you. Display God's fruit of the Spirit, love. Now the first one, attribute there, that's something I'm responsible to do for you. But the next one is what I get. I cannot find a dictionary that gives this definition, but I see a difference between joy and happiness. To me, joy is an understanding which may lead to an exhilarating emotion, whereas happiness is just the emotion. Now, as I say, that's not a dictionary definition, but that's what I see Scripture is teaching. Joy is an understanding which may lead to an exhilarating emotion. Okay, so anyway, the rest here. Peace. Am I one that seeks to make peace? Scripture actually gives us that admonition. Do I have patience? A friend of mine was a missionary, and she was telling me some other missionary said, Lord, I need more trouble because I don't have enough patience. Well, I don't know if I'm of that spiritual quality to pray exactly that way, but that's what gives us patience. We're looking at things and, Lord, I can't take any more of this. And then the Lord says, yeah, I'll show you that I can, because by the time you get done with this, you're going to have a lot more patience. Okay, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Next item. By using my gifts for the benefit of others, okay? We already talked about that. Be content where God has placed me in time and space. Oh, but if I'd only lived back in the days of Abraham Lincoln, or if I could have been on earth when Moses was on earth, or Joshua, or Jeremiah, or David, or Daniel? Or are we satisfied that we are here to fit a specific place in God's plan? Amen. Next one. Draw others to want to have the peace, joy, and contentment that the Lord Jesus provides. And how do you do that the best way? By demonstrating it, right? if you've got a child that's at least 10 years old, you're going to see, oh, that's the way I did that. Okay, let's go on. Next, we're going to start on the next page. We got 15 minutes left. No, we've got just 5 minutes left. But we'll start here. Point three, fleeing sin leads to indescribable joy. Now, that's a concept in Scripture. We could refer to Psalm 7:11, but let's go to Ephesians 4:30. That is the opposite. We'll skip that for now. We'll come back to that later. But this idea of fleeing sin leads to indescribable joy. You remember what Satan said to Eve? If, in effect, John Lyman's interpretation of it is, if you want to have a good time, you really got to disobey God. Now, you probably thought that same in different words, but that's what Satan says. God is trying to withhold joy from you. And if you just try, just go over the line and disobey him, you'll have a lot more joy. That's a lie of Satan. Remember what Jesus said? He's been a liar from the beginning, right? Okay. Grieving. This is what we're talking about. Let's go. Let's look at that. We just got 3 minutes left here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Matter of fact, I'm going to read from verse 29. Let no unwholesome word, the word unwholesome could mean, let's see, I thought there was a marginal note. No, it doesn't. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. What is a euphemism? I see already a perplexed face, so somebody wants you to tell them, what is a euphemism? Okay? Very good. Okay, that's the idea of using a softer word rather than a wrong word. Right. So be very careful. I think most of us will find out that occasionally we do this. And your kids will pick it up. And they will substitute the word that you didn't want to use. Okay, so we want to be careful of euphemisms. And that's what it's saying here in verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. Grace, beautiful acts of favor. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you've been sealed for the day of redemption. Remember, God's holiness is far beyond our comprehension. By the way, I've heard so many people say that holiness is separated from sin, which it absolutely is. However, what's a synonym for holiness? Sanctified, okay? You'll find out in Genesis chapter 2, before sin ever came into the world, God talks about setting aside one day, making one day regarded as holy. Now, we're not under the law today. We don't find anything in the New Testament about the Sabbath, but the concept, that's all I'm picking up, is on the concept that holiness is more than separating from sin. For instance, you get that in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Separate from sin and other whole unwholesome things. And with that, we'll stop for today. And Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our God, our Father, we realize that your word has instruction for us in every phase of life. We ask for help that we might grow. Not that we're going to be able to get all these digested and put into practice by tomorrow, but help us to make some small step in our conformity to that of the Lord Jesus. We ask this that others will realize that we are seeking to follow and imitate the Lord Jesus. It is in his name we pray. Amen.